connect you to the next available agent.
Do not disturb.
Put your phones on do not disturb.
Okay.
What do you call that shirt you're wearing?
Golf. Troika.
Troika?
Troika. Golf.
Golf is like Volkswagen. Golf. You know?
Yeah.
So golf, we have like a sport. Golf is the same. Golf.
Well, why do they call it a golf?
It's just golf, man.
I don't know. It's the Polish name.
Because I told you, in English, we call it a turtleneck.
Turtleneck.
You get it?
Turtle.
Yeah. See, it makes sense. I'm trying to understand why does golf. What is golf?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
All right.
We have to ask. I don't know who. There was for sure somebody who used it for the first time, like the name.
But it sounds extra fancy. Like if you think about the sport, golf is for the rich people.
And you can wear golf while driving your golf to play golf.
So okay. So this type of shirt with the neck is translated in Polish is golf. Golf shirt.
Yeah, okay. Just golf.
Just golf.
Mm-hmm. Nothing more.
All right, cool.
And this is what? T-shirt?
Yeah, just a straight up shirt. But soon, this shirt's going to be dirty and...
Wait, the second show we are starting with speaking about our wardrobe. Like last time we spoke about panties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, my bad. Let me just not mention that you look like such a handsome man right now, dude. No worries. We'll just breeze over that.
Today is Women's Day in Poland. I don't know if it's only in Poland or it's worldwide.
Women's Day.
It's not in the US?
No, I mean, it probably is.
Okay, today is Tuesday. But last time when we met and when we are recording this right now, it's 8th of March and it's Women's Day in Poland.
Okay. What should we do to honor Women's Day?
Wear golf.
Well, thank you. Uh-huh.
Too late, huh?
Yeah, bummer. I have a turtleneck too. It would have been really cute to both wear turtlenecks.
But I've seen on Instagram that it's also Wild Animals Day or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
So it's about you, wild animal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you can be wild animal for one day, which animal would you choose?
Ooh, a wild animal? I would be a dolphin.
Serio?
Yeah.
You really think if I think about of all wild animals... Mm-hmm. I'm thinking like more like a safari, like a giraffe, like an elephant, but I wouldn't think about a dolphin, like wild animal. Like I know it is wild animal. I know all animals are wild, which are like living without boundaries somewhere in the nature. But this is like maybe the last animal I think he's a wild. He's smart for sure, but is he wild?
They're the smartest animals in the world, aren't they?
Yeah.
Dolphins?
I think so.
They're supposed to be some of the smartest animals in the world.
For sure, they have a high IQ.
So I just want to know what it's like to be that smart. You know?
Why to play this quiz with
no, I would be to be smart. I want to be a dolphin because I want to know what goes on in the ocean, like deep in the ocean, you know?
But do they swim and so deep?
Maybe not. There's probably better answers, you know? There's probably better.
Smart enough not to swim so deep.
Better wildlife answers, but they move pretty quickly. Uh-huh. So I feel like I could see a lot of things that I can't see in my human body, really, right now, at least, you know?
So, and you want to have they have a hole on the back or no?
Yeah.
Just to spit.
Yeah, blowhole. I think they do, yeah.
A blowhole?
That's fun, I think. That's fun. Okay, we have also a hole, somewhere there behind, but not here. Could be fun to blow
bubbles out of your neck. Yeah. Yeah, sounds like a great time. What animal would you be?
Wait, I asked the question. The Krovas has to answer, and I will say.
I think I would be something with wings. I would like to fly.
Yeah,
it's way
damn
better.
Damn it.
Yeah, you're right. Swim. That's better.
Yeah. You feel more freely, but I thought about bees. I don't know why. It's not about birds, but more bees. Because maybe their work also.
Oh, honey.
They fly and they have honey always close to them.
You're just trying to get deep inside a flower, aren't you, buddy?
Let's go.
Okay. I was thinking also about the bird. Maybe some eagle in Alaska.
Maybe
or
a crow.
Somewhere. Maybe a crow. Ooh, but that
makes sense.
Yeah, but I could be somewhere here in the city and flying around Warsaw as a crow, but I can be an eagle and fly over Alaska or somewhere there, this beautiful national.
But you said for one day.
Yeah, for one day.
Okay. How much ground do you think you're going to cover as an eagle?
I don't know.
Day?
I would just fly around, you know, and it could be really nice to hunt for some fishes. I don't know if they hunt fish. Maybe
water
not.
Snakes also, I think.
probably.
Yeah.
There are snakes in Alaska.
It is pretty incredible when you see eagles. I've seen videos of eagles that like come down.
Hopefully and grab dogs from the parks.
Now. Yeah, I've seen that too. That's insane.
I have another stupid story, like, because last episode.
You're the king of stupid stories. Let's hear it.
New segment. I didn't want to be.
Stupid stories by Kropas.
Yeah, because my parents, the same village, stories in the same village like last episode. My parents live close to the national park. And we have some eagles there, like few of them only. And I was driving my father's old Volvo. And, you know, I know this road. It's a narrow village road, but I drive pretty quickly. And when I was turning right, at the end of the corner, there was an eagle sitting on the street. And, like, I was didn't expect the unexpected, because why would you sit on a street when you're an eagle, right?
Right.
And it was such a funny feeling, because I felt like I'm in slow motion, because this eagle is not so quick and powerful bird, you know, he has to have some time to
he's
move.
He's chill, he's got a lot of weight.
And I was closer and closer, he was sitting in the middle of the road, and he spread his wings, and he was just tried to go up and up, and I was looking straight in his eyes, you know, he was closer, and I felt like he was so terrified, you know, because his eyes were changing. He was so close to the glass of my car, and it was like, you know, he managed to fly away, but it was like few meters only, and I would crash him. And that would be the end of the
Your dad didn't stop?
I was driving.
You were driving.
And I tried to stop, but I was driving pretty fast, and he was slow.
It's pretty crazy how I get that with pigeons. You know pigeons?
Yeah.
We have them.
The rats of the bird family. You know, but like how close? Like they'll be in the, because pigeons are all over parking lots. Those dirty little animals, you know. And I'll be driving in a parking lot, and I'll think, dude, you're going to move, right? Yeah. Like, there's no way. And they always make it out. And they always make it out like just this. In time. They always make it out just in time, you know?
So what about these pigeons incredible. Which are lying dead on the path?
Sorry, yeah, they don't all make it out. But it's incredible how often I drive through like a group of birds and I'm thinking, I'm for sure going to kill one of these and don't kill one. So I know.
The same question, why you don't stop? Why you're just driving into them and thinking, because it's like I will kill them.
Because
God damn it, not this time.
I don't drive into them trying to kill them. Okay. We have a deal, I feel like, you know, humans and birds, you know? Mm-hmm. And the deal is that I just trust that they're getting out of the way because
and they are shitting on you.
And then they shit on us to remind us that they're more powerful.
I didn't know I have some deal with eagles, you know?
Yeah.
That was pretty unexpected.
Eagle whisperer.
This could be nice, to fly as an eagle over the city and shit on somebody.
Oof.
I used to think about that a lot as a kid. Like, what would I do if I was a... Like, I would just go around shitting on people,
but
you
it's
know?
A lucky charm.
Or fly that's over true. The pigeons which are flying and shit on them.
Ooh.
Wow, that's real dominance.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey,
who's the boss here?
Are zoos fucked up?
Zoos?
Yeah, zoos.
Yeah, they're like...
That's like not cool, right?
Not cool. Like, they used to be cool when I was a kid, but right now when I think about them, it's not cool. But
it's not cool.
On the other hand, like, showing these animals, I have to say, like, I was in the zoo 3 or 4 times with my daughter, and it's the best place on earth for her. She can see all the animals that she sees in the books that we read before, and she can see them, like, right away. There is a giraffe, an elephant, and all the, like, a hippo. Hippo is the best one.
Yeah.
And, but...
Whoa, there's hippos in the zoo?
Yeah, there is.
In Warsaw?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Right in front of the entrance. Like, when you go inside, the first animal, it depends which side you start. But when you start from the north, you see the hippo first. And it's amazing. But...
It has such a small swimming pool.
Yeah, it has such a small swimming pool. And, yeah, when I think about it, it breaks my heart when I think, like, it could be, like, somewhere...
In Kenya.
Swimming in Kenya, or I don't know where they swim. Yeah.
Because
this could be great to be a hippo.
Yeah, they're like one of the most dangerous animals, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's so funny because I was talking to one of our coaches and he was saying that he recently went to the zoo and he asked me if I'd ever been to any zoos. And I was thinking like, yeah, like I remember being a kid loving the zoo. Also the aquarium, you know, with all the water animals and just loving it. Like when you're a kid, it's like, oh my God, it's so cool. And it's cool as an adult too, to see these like incredible animals. But it's a situation now that I'm an adult that I'm like so conflicted where I'm like, on one hand, it seems very not cool. That seems obvious. On the other hand, we are the top of the food chain, and we get to learn so much from studying these animals. And so I'm saying I don't know. Write in the comments how you feel about zoos or aquariums, because it's very conflicting. I could imagine having a kid and wanting to show them.
Yeah, but we don't close them in these cages to eat them. Yeah, they are just living their life there in this cage and not getting to freedom ever. Like, they are dying there. Like, they live, they are born there and they stay there, and that's all.
Like, they are so sad. Like, you look at them and you some know that they are not enjoying their life.
Yeah,
like,
some companies are taking care about them. There, you see in Polish Zoo, you have some sponsors of the animals. Like, this company is taking care about the hippo and blah, blah, blah. But okay, but it's like closed there. And
But you know what I like? There is a room with butterflies. And you can go inside and there is plenty of them flying all around, and you just, you know, look like in a cartoon, and that's fun, I guess.
But the best zoo I've ever been to, it was in Australia.
Australia.
And it was some kind of closed park, let's say.
Australia is a zoo, isn't it? Yeah, basically.
Basically, like, huge zoo. And yeah, there were kangaroos, like, jumping around. Like, you sit on the bench by the table and eat your, like, second breakfast. And they are just coming there, and we'll put the picture. I will send you after it for post production. I have a so cool picture with kangaroo while I eat my sandwich.
Oh my god! Please put
like a selfie picture. It's so cool, and it was great. It was like, also there was a show of feeding the crocodile there, and the guy who was showing like how to get rid of the spiders, which are really like dangerous there in Australia, and they are everywhere. Like, every time you sit on the toilet, you need to check if there are
my literal worst nightmare. Yeah,
yeah. And it was so cool, and also like taking koalas and hugging them, and it was so nice. Really nice zoo, but still they are closed there.
Okay,
they're not living.
Let's get to the bottom of this. So how do we feel? What percent of zoo are we okay with versus what percent is not cool and we should abolish all zoos? How do we feel? Like, what would you say your ratio for zoos is?
I would be happy if I have never go to any zoo, and if there was no zoo in the world, it would be perfect for me. I don't care.
Yeah, me the same. I would say, like, I would rather go to Africa and go on a safari to see the lions and giraffes and whatever, than to go to the other side of our city to see them closed there in the cages. And this would be something unique if you can see them only like outside in their natural environment, not in the cities. It will be so cool, and also like so expensive. It is expensive, but if you can see them only there, it would be amazing and something unique. But here, how many zoos are in Europe? Like, also, I think every big city, capital city has I think it works in Poland, you have few, like three maybe, or...
For sure, Wrocław.
For sure, Łódź has some zoo, because my parents went there with my daughter also. And there are a few. And aquariums also, like... So you have a few. For me, totally, they should not exist.
So we think 100% that zoos are not cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe there is some like positive thing about zoos. Like, maybe they help some animals to recover. I don't know. They take some harmed animals. I don't know.
No, that's for sure.
It's more like sanctuary, or they call it like this in Thailand. Like, when they
You are washing the elephants is different than like you have them there. You are taking care about them and they live freely, or no? Like, they are also
closed. I think it depends how broken they are.
I think I've heard also that this is not like totally cool with these elephants.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you never know how much to trust these just making, like, organizations.
Making money from tourists just because you have access to the elephants. And in washing them, it's like, okay, to wash them, somebody needs to like bring them there. And
also, speaking of elephants, they're also one of the smartest animals. I saw a video where they had, I don't know if we talked about this before or not, but I saw a video where they have a mirror in the jungle, and these like different animals go by it, and they're like, what the, like freaking out, you know? And then you see an elephant who sees the mirror, and it starts like cleaning itself. Like in some way, it has enough consciousness to know that this is me.
Wow.
And now, I can see myself. Let's clean. And they're like cleaning their faces. It's pretty incredible. Check it out on YouTube.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. You guys also have to check it out. Should we start with some?
That was great. No, you guys, great intro. Nice, simple intro. Yeah, straight into questions, dude.
That's really cool.
This is intro. The show.
Unexpected intro for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, also, you can write in the comments which animal would you be for the one day? Wild animal, if you can, you could, like right there. We are really, really interested.
Also, be honest. You know, maybe zoos aren't that bad. Maybe I think it's the easy answer to be like, yeah. I mean, they're clearly like not. It's like seems like it's not cool to do. Take something out of its environment, and at the same time, sometimes I'm like, I don't know, is it that bad? Like, is it that bad to take a couple of sharks out of the water and put them in an aquarium? I mean, for me, take them all out and put them in an aquarium, you know what I mean? But is it that bad to take out a shark when you're five?
Yeah, but it always makes me feel bad. But when I see zebra or these small monkeys that, you know, jumping on the trees, it's fun,
yeah, we're like big gorillas. All right, let's answer some questions.
Sorry, Matt started to speak from my phone. And, okay, wait. So let's get some questions. We have a question from, you know this guy.
I do.
Who is it? Like, tell us.
Matt Houlihan. He is a club director. And as we've talked about before, the way to playing in college and then playing pro, first you play for a club team. So this was...
The name of the club is Bay to Bay.
Bay to Bay. That's where I grew up playing. They raised me from California, Northern California. And I'm stoked he sent a question.
Okay.
What up, gentlemen? Love what you're doing with the pod. Thanks for all the great answers you've been providing. My question for you guys is, playing in Poland and coming from Poland where volleyball is such a huge sport and part of the culture, how do you think that we in the United States can help build that same culture and that same demand for the sport on the American side of the game?
What do you think, buddy?
Just stop playing basketball, man. That's the solution.
Abolish basketball. Yeah.
I think, okay, you are from US, so you know better, but I think women's volleyball is big in USA, but men's volleyball, they don't have a league yet. So this is, I think, the main problem.
I mean, we do technically, but we don't.
Yeah, you don't. Like, university league is not the league that I'm... You are speaking about universities or what?
We technically have two, NVA and VLA, yeah. But they're not...
Okay, no, you don't have like, professional league, like, not school right. game.
We're not getting the best players in the world to come to America to play volleyball.
I think the good way is the road of Japan, Japanese league, how they are doing on the last few years. Like, they are getting more and more professional, and right now they are opening for the pro players, but yet they have a league, and they had a league for a few years, and you need to have a professional league. This is, for me, I think this is the first condition to grow the interest of volleyball. But if not, if you really don't want to, because you have so many different sports there in the US that probably it could be difficult to get sponsors or whatever. I think it's in the US there is a place for every sport, probably. Maybe you tell
me. No, let's break this down. I want you to run with this. So we want to start a professional league for men's volleyball. Yeah. Women, I think, are going to be a great example for us to follow because it's still new, but I can't wait to see how it develops from the women's side of things. And hopefully we can take note and try to build something on the men's side as well to give more opportunity for American players and for foreign players to play professionally in the States. I mean, how many guys tell me they would love to come to America to play for a year? Like
me or I don't know the guy who wouldn't love to play there. Like watching NBA, MLB, like NHL, all these professional leagues in US, watching them in TV and dreaming about one day playing in US, I would go there for even less money.
So, and I've heard that so many times. Yeah. So it's clear we can get the best players to come to the States. The question is, to your point about sponsors, like, what would you suggest? I mean, you guys have done it really. Poland is the best example of how do you take the sport of men's volleyball and make an entire community, professional community around it. So what would you offer based on what you know from how the Polish League and Plus League has worked? Like, what would you offer as advice to, like, okay, based on what I know, like, this is how I think you guys could build professional volleyball to be a legit sport in the United States. Obviously, there's lots of competition with other sports, but...
So, what I think, because, for example, here in Poland, we can watch NBA, we can watch NHL, like, we can watch the best league in each sport in TV. And from what I know, right now, Polish teams are winning the Champions League three Polish team won Champions League 3 years in a row. So let's say we are the best league in the world. Many people are saying like this. Us and Italy, mm-hmm. of course. Is it possible to watch these leagues somewhere in US? Like they are not blocked and you can... without
they're not on TV.
They are not on TV. Right. So this is the first thing. Hmm. They are not. They are also difficult to watch in the internet because they are blocked signals. Like I think you cannot watch Plus Liga if you have.
Correct.
You need to
Italian
have,
league. You can watch on volleyballworld.tv.
Yeah, because they bought the rights right mm-hmm. now. Volleyball World bought it, and but for Plus Liga, I don't think so. And you need to have this. What is the
VPN?
Name? VPN to watch it. So. First of all, I would check the interest of the nation in volleyball by buying the rights to the best leagues and to showing the games, because here we can watch every game of almost every league, like in
yeah, you're Poland. Right, NBA, all that yeah. stuff, yeah.
And you know, like how many people are watching this in Poland, and after you know that, or in UK, and you know that it's, or in Japan, and you know it's good to take the teams, like to pay the teams from NBA to come to play one game somewhere, because you know yeah. people are interested in it and could yeah. be a great event. So after, when you see that, for example, people in Chicago are watching Plus Liga, maybe it could be good to take two best teams or four best teams from Plus Liga with USA players to come to Chicago to have an event like a tournament in preseason to check the interest there, and maybe when you will watch that, you will see the progress that people are interested in watching best volleyball in the world, club volleyball. Then maybe it could be a good signal for sponsors to come in and to create a league there, because I'm pretty sure that all the players would go there to play.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you think, if there is a place between this NHL and NBA and all these great leagues to come to go for volleyball somewhere between them and maybe in some breaks.
I think what's really interesting is like, so you see this on the women's side now that there's a professional league, like now these young, because really it's about like getting the
young people
yeah really excited about seeing volleyball as something they could do as a career. And so for you guys, I can imagine you can we talked about this in other episodes, but you can taste playing professionally in the Plus Liga when you're 13, 14, 15, when you start to play a little bit and you're like, oh my God, Plus Liga is right here. I can see it. It's in my home country. So how do you start to create that feeling in America when there are so many sports? And to me, to your point, yeah, I mean, yeah, we need first a professional league, you know?
And you need just what, like 8-10 cities, which are a little bit crazy about volleyball. It's really that hard to find them, because also you can like start with the cities where, let's be honest, where you have a lot of Polish people, like Chicago, for example. Like it could be a good place to have a team there and take some best Polish players to pay them a little bit more and take them there to Chicago. I don't know how it is, if it's possible to find like 9 more cities or 7 more cities to create a small league at the beginning, to
which is basically what the two leagues in the States are trying to do.
Yeah, or to do some just tournaments, like I don't know, make it 6 teams or 8 teams and have a tournament in one city. After 2 weeks, take all these teams and play a tournament in the other city. Like try something, I don't know, for let it be the same cities like the women, like the women league, or like the women biggest universities. Like make a league where you already have some volleyball, but maybe feminine volleyball, and find.
I mean,
place
like
for
Hawaii
men.
Would be a great place,
yeah,
because they have the people who would come to those matches.
Players would play in Hawaii just to have an apartment and the car, or maybe not the car, sure. Just an apartment in Hawaii
and
moped. Yeah,
surfing board.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, California for sure. Chicago has a big Polish scene there. But I liked what you said about, I mean, the first thing is, can we find a way to get a good TV channel, like a classic TV channel, to show volleyball, the best leagues in the world, on TV? Because that's a good starting point.
Yeah.
Can you be flipping through the channels and you see volleyball on TV? That's a big one.
And kids need to have easy access to right. to watch the volleyball, to watch the best players in the world. And after, like, you can check the interest. Like,
I mean, and after it's money, right? I mean, you need someone who's willing to invest in the idea.
But aren't there like any moves in USA towards creating a league of men?
I mean, like I said, they have two technically. I think, for example, like what the women's league, I know that they're doing well is they're getting the best women's national team players to play in the league in the States. Why? To me, they must have pretty good money then. Yeah, because these girls can take good money in Europe. So if they're willing to play at home, first of all, it's a historical thing and will be seen as a historical thing for women's volleyball. So they want to be a part of that, which is amazing. And also they want to make a good living. So
but they play only in US, or they play in Europe and the league in US is like after European league or like between the seasons?
Great question. I think it's just the US. So they're going to play just in the US.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wouldn't it be incredible if one of those teams played in like Champions League at some point? Like, that would be really interesting. But for now, it looks like it's just in
maybe
the US.
This is also the way to make the volleyball more popular, like to have an access of the USA teams to all these main competitions which we have in Europe, like to create something bigger than European Champions League. Make it like, okay, we have the World Championship of the clubs. Like it's tournament which is like what 5 days in the year, but maybe like especially now joining Japan, like Japanese league, getting best Brazilian team, best USA team, and to create some kind of league for the clubs, not national teams but the clubs. Maybe this could be like this could create some bigger interest of the people in US for the volleyball.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you know, what's really hard too is like, I mean, you guys just do it so well from having your club in Warsaw, and then the club is also connected to the professional team, right? Like the youth club, 14, 15, is connected right to the, how does that work?
But also we have like, because we didn't start in this club. I think this academy is, they started it like last year.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
2 years ago. And this is like a new project of our club, but I'm from Warsaw, and in Warsaw you have 3-4 big clubs, like really big youth clubs, which are producing like a lot of players to the professional leagues. Like I think my club used to be like the club which gives like the biggest number of players to the professional league. Like we have, from my club, we have 3 world champions like 2014 in one team, and you have like 14 players there, and you have 3 guys from one club. And we in Poland, we have like in our region, we have I think around 60 clubs for the young guys, and in Katowice, in the region around Katowice, you have also like 65 clubs. You have so many clubs just around these cities. In Poland there are hundreds of clubs, so having like 3 guys in the world champions team, it's a big achievement for my club from Warsaw. So yeah, it's like this. You have in the city you have few, and then you have still academy of the pro club like our academy. But I think we have to wait a few years to have some players joining the pro team. Like it's too early to get the kids from the academy to join the pro team, the first team. Yeah, so it works like this. But
I mean, the real difference is like the universe. Like the difference in the States is, you go from club to university to professional, whereas here you go from club to professional.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You don't go from high school to professional. Like right. I think we are in the club, and at the same time when we are in the club, we are changing schools. We go to primary school, we go to some other schools, and we play there for the school also, because we have some school league like for Warsaw, for region, for Poland, you can win the medals, like academic stuff, but it's like something like some different competition than the league.
I mean I would love to know from you guys, like you said, you grew up when you were a kid, there was basketball on TV, there was hockey on TV, there was fighting on TV, there was volleyball. Why is volleyball so big then here in Poland?
Because we are winning medals in volleyball, I think, and also because of huge work of the sponsors, like when Plus and Polsat came, it's the same.
Explain for American listeners like what that is.
So it's the same owner, like there is a huge group with huge money, And there is like one of the richest guys in Poland is owner of this group, and he has a TV, Polsat.
Which is like CNN, which is or like ABC.
Like one of the, let's say, four main channels in Poland.
Got it.
You have two national channels paid by government and two private channels, Polsat and TVN. And he owns Polsat, which we have like which have different other channels like Polsat Sport.
Right.
And also the same guy has Plus, so the phone company, like the
mobile
so like AT&T
AT&T or,
right got
so
it.
He owns these two, like,
most, first of all, damn,
yeah.
Smart guy.
And just and like he's sponsoring many stuff, but volleyball started to be their main project like 25 years ago, I think, and they start to invest money. They changed the name of league for Plus Liga, so the name of the sponsor. And they start to show more and more, like every year they were like making better looking package for the fans to watch, like more and more games, to have a studio before the game, to have a TV show like once a week for with some best actions, statistics and everything. And like during World Championship in 2014, there were like different packages which you can buy in the TV. You pay extra money and you have like volleyball all around, like you have extra channel. They opened extra channel just for World Championship to show every game, to have studio to every game and to watch volleyball.
Okay, I want to push you though, just to deepen this idea. Yeah. So before volleyball was even on TV all the time, or
yeah, it was like you could watch one game a week. Yeah, I think just the best game a week.
Like, how do you think that conversation went? Because there was probably more popular sports on TV already.
Yeah, football for sure.
Okay,
basketball.
And there is no other competition. No, it's just football, basically, in all Europe, and then we play volleyball because we are the best here. And
yeah, but then came the World League came with like international competition, the World League. Like right now it's VNL. The World League came to Poland, and it was crazy. Like first year of World League in Spodek, in Katowice, mm-hmm. I remember watching the first games with Brazil and with Russia. It was like packed till the roof, like full of people, and it was great success of like the fans. And I think that time they showed that people are hungry about volleyball, and we won, I think, some game with Brazil that time, and it was huge because Brazil was the best team in the world. And I think people who were managing these two big companies, they thought, damn, people in Poland like are really crazy about volleyball on the national team level, of course, at the beginning, but they start to think for sure what to do to make it like bigger.
So step one, your national team needs to be pretty good.
So this you have in your hands.
Okay, step
but you have your good
step two team. Have more world volleyball events showcased in the States.
Yeah, you need to have access to the best leagues for sure, like to watch your national team players playing in Europe, or if they cannot play in US, you have to have possibility to watch them in the best clubs, which they play for sure, because you are great players and you are all in the best teams in the world.
So how would you pitch the idea? So let's say, for example, Fox. Do you know about Fox? Mm-hmm. Fox Sports. Okay.
Yeah.
You want to pitch the idea to Fox Sports to make men's volleyball a success in the States.
Mm-hmm.
What's the conversation like with the producer of Fox Sports being like, hey, so once a week, I want you to show a Champions League game or a Plus Liga game? Like, how would that conversation go? And why would that producer be like, okay, let's try? Like, what's necessary to be like, this is a great idea, and let's prove the concept that it's a good idea and that it can make money? Because ultimately, it needs to make money for it to be a success, right?
I think, I'm not sure, and this, I don't know this for sure, but I think money which you have to pay to have an access to the volleyball, to buy the rights to volleyball, like let's say to Plus Liga, to show it in US, are totally like it's totally less money than you have to pay to watch, I don't know, best like Premiership, like football league in England or in France, or I don't know, basketball league in Germany or handball league in Germany to show, okay, handball is not big in US, but these amounts of money are for sure much lower.
So you think
lower.
It's part, like it's
so you so like when the guy when the TV which is paying like huge money for I don't know NBA or
MLB baseball
MLB like yeah. everything, and you can compare this money to the money you have to pay to some country in Europe to show the best volleyball in the world, because you have to just pay Italy or Poland to yeah. show the best players in the world in volleyball. It just it's good to take a risk for 1 year, you know, to just give it a chance, like pay this money, it's not a lot of big money for you, and check the statistics after, promote it a little bit, like give the possibility to people to watch it, and then you after 1 year you can stop or
yeah.
or you can see that people are really hungry of watching pro volleyball in US.
So Matt, let's talk privately. Let's find a way to pitch the idea to Fox Sports.
And it's always, I think it's always, I know that because we are in with Volley Station, we are in US also, and mm-hmm. and we know that there are people who are crazy about volleyball and they have money, like they are organizing huge events for kids, some tournaments, mm-hmm. big tournaments. You really need to have money to make such a big tournament, like in Texas.
Or, yeah, yeah.
So there are people. So maybe, you know, this is like a conversation between 10 people in US to make this decision, to take this risk with their own money, maybe even to convince some, I don't know, really, I don't know the market so well to tell this, but maybe this needs to start from like few most important businessmen and women in US who love
we just volleyball. Need to know someone well connected in Poland to be on the other side of the deal.
Yeah, because like this starts also from Polsat. Like you need to speak with somebody in Polsat yeah. to let the signal fly to US.
Wow, that's a pretty good answer, dude. I'm yeah, man. It would be so cool. It would just be really so cool to find a way. To your point, like first, I have always wanted to showcase, and I know other professional American professionals feel this way. I have always wanted to showcase what the best level volleyball looks like in the world. Because so many young players have no idea who Matt Anderson is or Micah Christensen or like Eric Shoji. Only people probably know Eric better because also his YouTube channel, he's good at connecting with the youth. But like in general, these guys, Matt and Micah, aren't like on Instagram. They're not on social media promoting all the time. Like those guys are incredible athletes. And I would love to find a way to recognize like how hard we work to be at such an elite level, and to showcase that in America would be really cool.
Yeah. So. And you guys also know what amounts we are talking about. Like if you say to somebody who owns the, I don't know, Dallas Cowboys, let's say in NFL, if you tell to this guy, man, if he asks you how much money I need to create like the team, like 14 best players in the world of volleyball, and if you tell him the amount, he would be like, okay, like monthly, yeah? And you'll be like, no, it's a budget like for whole season or like for 3 years. Because for him, it's like this is like comparing to the money they got in NFL,
for sure.
For the biggest stars. I know, I think I can tell this story. Like I know Polish player Kamil Sipczak, who is a best handball player in Poland and one of the best in the world. And he plays for Paris Saint-Germain in Paris, in France. And this is like the team which plays every year for... They are getting medals in Champions League, and I think they didn't win yet, but they are always like around the
handball legend.
And Paris Saint-Germain handball has the same owners like football team,
PSG.
These guys from Qatar, I think they are from these sheikhs from Qatar.
Okay,
they bought the like all the package, like all the teams which are combined into Paris Saint-Germain. And he said that the owners of the handball team, like the president of the handball team, went for the meeting with the owners of this big group, these sheikhs from Arabian countries, I don't know which one, to speak about the budget and how much money they need. And that time they were buying Messi, Neymar, so the best soccer players in the world, which are getting, I don't know, 40 million euro per season. And they were speaking about like buying one guy for the handball team. And this was the same conversation, like I was joking to you, that they said the amount for the whole team, and he thought that this is the amount for one player, you know, for one player to come to,
yeah,
to get his salary. And this was like the amount for all players, stuff, like like traveling, hotels, yeah, and everything. This was the money they need. And it wasn't even not, and this was around half of the money that Messi was getting, like, for one season. So
we just need to find some big business owner whose daughter or son likes volleyball. Mm. For example, like LeBron James, there was a video of LeBron James at his daughter's volleyball tournament, like yelling and supporting his daughter or something. And instantly it was like, oh, if we could find a guy like that, who's like, hell yeah, I'll invest in like something my daughter or my son likes.
But don't you think that if you guys open like a serious real league in the US, that would be a finish for Europe? Like, no one will stay here. Everyone go overseas to
Because US. Something what we are experiencing right now with Japan. Like, yeah, the biggest stars are going to Japan, yeah, and we will.
That would kill volleyball in Europe.
I think it will kill. Like, there are not like if they open the league like totally that you can have all the team of foreigners, maybe. But still, like, there are so many players here, like, I don't know. I don't think it will kill them.
But if not you take 20 best players from Europe, like, there's...
I mean, that's what Poland does, dude. That's what Italy does. That's what a lot of these countries are doing. Mm-hmm. Turkey, like, they're all taking the world's best players. And it goes to show there's a lot of great players, first of all. But I think what it would really do also is cultivate more of a volleyball culture in the States and allow us to develop players more in the States. Because what's clear to me is in Brazil, in Japan, here in Poland and Italy, the culture of volleyball from youth to professional is just so much better. The line, the curve is so much smoother. You know, there's just like, I don't know. I think it's very, very different in that sense where, like, at least on the men's side, it's very jumpy. It's like you play club and then you play high school and then you play in the university or D1 or D3. And then, like, professionals just kind of like, I don't, it's not even something I was able to grasp as a college student until really my last year as a senior. That I was like, oh, I can play professionally. And like, okay, like, I had no idea what good leagues were or anything. So I think this allows us to have high quality volleyball in our backyard. And yeah, I mean, it's the same, like, Poland's also so good and their foreign limits, 3 players per team. I mean, on the court. So it means you have to develop good Polish players. And, like, let's look at middle blockers, for example, in Poland. There's probably 10 for sure that are like high level national team grade quality players.
Yeah, I think middle blockers. This is our problem, that maybe we could be on the Olympics in half of the teams, but we are Polish, so
right,
there's no chance to go to the Olympics. But I wanted to say, like, how cool would it be if we have this worldwide league, let's say, like, in 6 main countries, which we said already, like Italy, Poland, USA, Brazil, Japan, and maybe Turkey. You have like 4 teams or 3 teams, and we play tournaments around the world. Like, we don't play the league. We play, like, we fly to US for 1 month, and we play there, like, I don't know, 4 rounds. We play different
little tournaments.
Like a tournaments there in US. After, like a circus, you know?
Like a VMF.
You move
WWF, dude. You know WWE? Uh-huh.
Yeah, like a circus. You move to Poland. We play like for 1 month. You have best players from like all the best players, like not most of the best, like all the best players you have in Poland for 1 month. You watch them. You have all the companies which want to be promoted in Poland, like in from around the world. Like, there are for sure some. And then you fly to Japan, then you fly to Australia, like, you fly around the world and you play just the games. You have huge show, like, the same, like also with when some music star is flying around the world, like, you have the same
tour, dude.
Like a tour. Yeah. You go everywhere, they are setting the stage, like, they're setting the sports hall. You rent a sports hall, like the biggest sports hall in the city for 1 month, and you have like people going there to watch volleyball. And after you have like, after 6 months, you have 6 months of practicing and maybe playing, I don't know, we have national team for sure. And also you can have like maybe 6 teams or 8 teams, which are like not as good as these 3 top teams from the country, which are playing the league to replace after like the worst team from these 3. So you play inside the country in Poland, let's say the League of 6 or League of 8, and the best team plays the worst team from these three.
Man, he's so excited right now.
From look these at three you. That are traveling around the world to replace it, to replace them. And you have like the best of five, let's say. And if they win, they go and they switch them for the next season to travel around in the world. And if they can get huge money from the sponsors, from the, I don't know, tickets and everything, you know, you have to share it like equally. And then you can promote you can make the club competition the same like VNL. Particularly, like,
do you know what the Globetrotters are?
Yeah,
of course.
It's like some version of like, it's not just for show, I guess, with what you're saying, but like, also, why not? Like, could you imagine? I mean, dude, when I was a kid, like, going to a college game was our, let's say, professional, you know? Like, I remember having moments of like, I could do that. It like gives you hope. And also, you watch a guy like bounce a ball and you're like, oh my God, that's so cool. It's all I want to do. It's making me think about that more because while I didn't totally have it as a kid, like imagine being able to provide that to like a 13, 14, 15 year old kid, you know, like even if we had competitions, like, you know, in the NBA, they have the dunk contest. Like, why don't we have the bounce contest as a part of this, you know, like really show like how incredible, get Boye in there to freaking bounce a ball to the roof, or TJ DeFalco, or someone who's just like a hammer, you know, like how stoked kids would be and people would be to like come watch just like freak athletes doing freak things, you know?
Because for me, okay, maybe I'm not a good guy to say this, but I think I was watching some basketball games live also, and I'm watching volleyball live, and I think volleyball, when you see it live, is so spectacular. Like this power of serve and spikes is so much bigger live when you watch it in the sport hall. And sometimes some basketball games when
TV doesn't do it justice all
when
the time.
Some,
you know?
Yeah, when the team is leading with 30 points and they're just throwing three pointers, yeah. Like, okay, that's nice, but nothing spectacular. This guy or he scores or he doesn't score. But in volleyball, you have so fast actions, like not as fast as in NHL, but it's really spectacular to watch live. So maybe if you can make a tour traveling around the world and people can buy just one big ticket for the tournament in their country, in their city, and they go and they watch the best players for 5 days, and then they are enough of the volleyball, they can watch in TV. This the same guy is like traveling around the world and playing in the biggest sports halls in the world.
Really, it's about how do you make volleyball exciting. It's like another component, you know, like on one hand we're talking about let's give them the highest quality with the best players, like let's make it as professional as possible, and then we're kind of introducing the side of like how can we make it so entertaining that people just want to come because it's so entertaining. And I've talked about this with Ben Patch also a little bit about like how could you make volleyball just so cool, and he also thinks like, I don't want to speak for him, but we talked about like the idea of, for example, Caitlin Clark. Do you know who that is? She's like setting records for women's basketball right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How like, I think it was Travis Scott recently showed up to watch her break. I don't even know. I don't really follow it that closely. Like, but break the points, all time points, or like like she was setting history in some way, you know. And it's you get these stars to like come to a volleyball game. Like, how do you get Beyonce to come watch volleyball? You know,
she needs to be married to a volleyball guy.
Might be a little late for that, but I don't know. You know, like those are the other things to think about. Is like, how do you make volleyball just cool, like streetwear?
I think you need to add. You know, like, you need to add events that will make it better experience for people than only volleyball. You need to have some star, like worldwide star, to play a concert. Like, let's make it, I don't know, you pay Justin Timberlake to travel with this tour like around to play.
Wow.
Like,
you have this guy, he's on fire after
the game. Okay, this is maybe crazy, no, but
don't
maybe
you dare
not.
It's very reasonable,
and you get people to watch volleyball, and after they stay for the gig of their favorite artist, you know. Yeah. And you need to invest money to get the money back.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe this is maybe also to make some kind of like, you know, take the Harlem Globetrotters to get the people also from basketball, because also these kids are tall, so maybe some of them which suck more in basketball, they can come to volleyball. You know how it is.
I do know how it is. That's how I describe like how I started volleyball. It's like, yeah, volleyball players is for people who weren't athletic enough to be good at basketball. They play volleyball.
Yeah, that's true. But this could make like volleyball so much richer sport, more rich sport. Like if you, if USA comes into the game, like if USA sits by the table with all these countries like Japan, Poland, Italy, Turkey, Brazil, it could be, it could be amazing.
Yeah. To have. Well, I'm excited. We get to watch it on the women's side. We're gonna get to see like what does that look like in America. And while it is two different audiences,
yeah, but volleyball is huge in women's, like in USA. Yeah,
yeah,
like a lot of.
But it's also growing a ton on the men's side. So I guess to me, it's like at least we're gonna get to see like in general. We're generalizing volleyball, men and women. How much do people like volleyball? And hopefully we'll get to see and learn a lot. And if it becomes, which it will become, a success in the States, then to me, obviously, I'm like, oh, I would love to see that also on the men's side, only because I'm a male volleyball player and I would love to see professional volleyball in my backyard, you know?
Yeah, maybe even at the beginning, you can combine men and women like volleyball, like add the men, the men's team to the biggest women's teams, like in the biggest women's volleyball cities.
Have
like
men and women working Nebraska, together.
Nebraska, yeah, Nebraska is big.
Yeah,
for sure. So you can add some guys to practice there to have their team like next to the women's team, and maybe the same fans will like come also for the men's games.
Andre's just full of good ideas, huh? It's incredible. Those are really good ideas.
I would love to go to US and to speak with all these important people. You can add me to the like the brainstorm team to speak about it.
Hell yeah. All right, let's do another question. That was a fantastic answer. We should at least do one more, huh?
Okay, but which one?
We should do our
outside volleyball, I guess. There was one question.
Outside volleyball?
Yeah, this guy with the amazing name.
All these guys have amazing name. Ivan Gambrell?
Yeah.
But this is like different coaching styles.
And another one was there.
Okay. So Ivan Gambrell from Scotland. Ivan.
Crazy. It does not sound like a Scottish name. I don't know what a Scottish name sounds like, but that doesn't sound like it.
Okay.
Hello, Volley Hotline. My name's Ewan. I'm from Scotland. And I want to ask each of you a question. So Taylor first. Taylor, I want to know what the different coaching styles have been like in the different programs that you've played in around the world, and how do they differ? And I guess what you like about each of the different styles that you've kind of encountered. The reason I ask is because my girlfriend's from Poland, where you play right now, and she says that her coaches were very, very strict. So I want to know if you have had the same experience.
This is the first question to you, so it was a long question, so we will wait for your answer, and after maybe I will put his second question.
I mean, so his question was what's
different coaching styles.
I mean, it's hard because I've been here in Poland, but I've also played in a lot of different countries, and sometimes, for example, I played 2 years in Poland with a coach from Argentina. So I don't want to generalize and say like Polish coach is the coach we have now is the first Polish coach I've ever had. Yeah, I don't know. I've talked about this a lot, maybe not even on this podcast, but in general, I think people know. I learned from a Serbian coach, Milan Zarkovic, who changed my life, changed my opinion and view of what volleyball training can look like. Javier Weber, the coach I had in Olsztyn from Argentina, was another guy who really shaped and changed to me like, oh, this is what practice can feel like. I'm a 30-year-old pro and I'm excited to come to practice.
Why? Because he was setting you some goals to achieve during the practice, or it was every time something different?
I mean, a big part of it, and I think we've talked about this before, but it was like respect. I really respected him as a human being.
How did he gain your respect? Like, as easy as you can explain.
I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast or not. I just feel like I've had these types of conversations a lot, so I don't want to repeat myself too much, but for the sake of that not being the case, I will say him having played at a high level really helps. And I've said this before, like, it doesn't mean you can't be an amazing coach and have never played at a high level. But we all know there's something about, like, a guy who's played in the Olympics, or that you already respect him a lot, and then he has a style that you like, and it's just, to me, like, this perfect storm of we can have these, like, little nuanced conversations about little technical things, and you get it. We get each other. Does that make sense? Do you guys feel that way at all? Like, do you feel that you respect?
I feel like it's really rare situation.
Like, that's for sure. Feel... Sadly rare.
But also I've heard that there are players, ex-players, who are not as good coaches.
Also
like,
true.
Like a volleyball legends, let's say, even.
And for sure.
It's not always like in football you have Jose Mourinho, who is... He wasn't as good soccer player, yeah, and he's one of the best coaches in the world. And in volleyball,
according to who?
According to his players.
His okay, awards. I don't know. That's the thing. Awards, it's really like interesting.
The trophies that he's winning, and the money that people want to pay him to get their team.
You know? Right, but can we say something like this? Is what I find so fascinating is I know, and we're gonna not say names, but I know a few coaches specifically who have all the awards, all the success, and I have. I need to be careful. give me a second here. Let me collect my thoughts. No, I know coaches that are like legends who were not good. Like the players' experiences with those coaches were not great. They were not being like, yeah, I love this coach. He was so great. It was like, no, he had really good teams and they did really good. And so he got a bunch of credit. And so if you look at his awards, you're like, he must be an amazing coach. But, and we don't need to say names, but do you guys know any coaches that are like, have the awards and accolades, but they're not like... people you would say like, yeah, he was a really good coach. He really impacted me as a player in a healthy or good way.
For yeah, sure. It's
difficult, for sure. Difficult to speak about them because like people can check like who was my coach and like who wasn't.
Do you know of people? You don't have to speak about yourself personally.
Yeah, I know
because,
people.
Because to be honest, dude, I hear the same. We all hear the same types of stories. I mean, how many times do I see a coach who's like, was a legend player who the feedback I get from players, because I'm always asking like, oh, how do you like your coach? Or how do you like this? Rarely do I ask a fellow teammate or someone I used to play with like, oh, how do you like the coach? And he's like, dude, I love the coach. He's so great. Like, it's such a good experience. Rarely do I hear that. And it makes me so mad. I don't want to lose myself here in the last couple little bit of our podcast. But
I feel it's also different of the time perspective, because in this actual moment, I usually not hate my coach, but I feel like I don't like any of them. But when the time fly and it's like, 5 years ago, I feel like, okay, this guy taught me this one. This guy was actually good at this one. I exaggerated on this situation, and he was actually a cool guy. And if I knew the things I know now, I would admire him more, you know?
I think.
Can you expand on that really quick? That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. Expand a little more on like what exactly you mean. Because to your point also, I think there's something to learn in retrospect, right? Like years. There's something to learn even from a bad coach.
Because you have a lot of emotions in right now, in the moment. Like you don't play so much or the team play bad and you always have to feel like you need to blame someone, right? And the coach is like your natural choice of every experience. So when the time fly and it's like you're in the next season, you can compare with other guys, other players and other coaches. You feel like that one was... not so bad, and I could be smarter to try to gain more knowledge from this guy, give him more chances.
I think that we can draw some kind of, I don't know what is the name from mathematics, this
graph?
This line, like a graph, that the younger you are, the more like authority you need, with the less coaching skills to respect the coach. Like, for example, when I was like 19, for me, it could be better to have a volleyball legend as a coach who is not like comparing after like 18 years of playing volleyball, when I will put him on the like a scale, he's not the best coach I had, but he was like the biggest legend because he gained like
you respected him automatically. Yeah,
because
as a child.
I knew that he won everything, and for me it was enough like to watch him as a saint like picture, and I would do everything he wanted from me. Even though like now I think when I think about him, his knowledge about like tactics and exercises and everything like volleyball practice was not that that good, and I had much better coaches after. But at the beginning, this was the all I needed, like to have this volleyball star as a coach. And after, when you get experience and you are older, and the older you get, the more like the less star you need as a coach, the more like guy who gets your respect with his knowledge and his systems.
You can stay out of your way.
And his
I mean, which is an interesting point in this team, you know.
Didn't you say today on a fitness to me that you really like when you can also go and grab a beer with your coach? That's also important for you.
Yeah, I don't know how we started talking about that, but to me, I said the coaches that I close my eyes and look back on and be like, who are the coaches that had a big impact on me? There was also this essence about them that was like, I would love to go grab a beer and just hang out with you. It wasn't this like, he's very, you know, you see these coaches who like put on this face, this persona almost, and you're almost intimidated by them. And then you look back, but he was such a great coach. I've never had that experience. To me, the coaches that resonated with me, and I'm just talking about me and my experience, were also coaches that I'm like, they were just such good people. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is like Milan Zarkovic, and unless I'm wrong here, he never played at like the highest level. He didn't play on the best teams in the world. He was like a setter. I don't even know how far but that's not his story. He coached Kovacevic, Antonasevic, like Lisanac, like he coached some of the people when they were young, and he's had success at University of Hawaii, like clearly. But he, just to also answer this guy's question a little more firmly, I really liked the style of chaos games novelty. That's how I found I learned best. Is every day I showed up to the gym, I was so excited because we were going to do something we didn't do yesterday. So it was new. Some new games, like Bagaroni we play.
Yeah.
There was like 100 different versions he had that we would play. Sometimes with a ball, sometimes without, sometimes two contacts, sometimes three, sometimes one player, sometimes three.
So Vital Heinen is your coach to do.
Maybe, and some people hate that, right? So it's different for everyone, but I'm talking about for me. Yeah. Like I loved that. I loved being excited about showing up. I loved learning new techs as a middle, especially when I started having to train as a middle in college. Like I loved that the first hour of practice, I got to do everything. I got to hit from the back row, front row. I got to set balls. I got to play defense. I got to pass balls. Like you do every skill. And as all of us know, it's so much fun, dude. I love that part. I do not want to do. It's
so important also like during the game.
It's so important, man. It's so important to be a volleyball player first and then a setter and then a middle blocker. Like in my opinion, you know, because you can be some tall, dorky middle like most of them are when they're young. And everyone, he goes to set the ball and everyone's closing their eyes like, oh, here, it's going to be bad, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, so I really liked that. And then a guy like Javier, he met me at more of like a mature stage in my career from a defensive scheme perspective. Like his strategy for me changed my life and how I view the game now. I go into like what that is deeper in my academy, middleblockeracademy.com.
Yeah. And but I think all the coaches in the world should be like divided into groups like by the age of the players they have, because also, okay, if they are legends or they are not, doesn't matter. Like you're sure, I think we can all rely to them that right to this that you need more like coach who is practicing with you all the skills, like gets more like into your individual techniques at the beginning. After, like when you are like already formed player, you need more coach who is like better in tactics, and because you know how to do all the hits in volleyball, your technique is good, but you need a guy who is more like into the tactics and he knows how to like where to put you on the court so you know more like what to do during the game. So I think that this should be like this one main world coach who is dividing the coaches into the groups of ages for the kids, for the teenagers, after the beginning like of your pro career, after like the middle of your pro career, and in the end of your pro career, you need like really experienced coach.
Okay, but one thing I want to say, what characteristics, I wanted to say tell the tale of time, or like supersede, they go past, it doesn't matter, the scale of time doesn't matter. And to me, one of them is just being a good person. There's something about, I've had coaches that to me like put on this persona of like, I'm your dad and you're my son. I know more than you. You're just young. You just got to do what I say. And I hated that so much. And I do not, to this day, I do not think that's the way. You don't have to be like me. I think it matters who you are. You need to have some And to me, it's the best teachers teach you that you are your best teacher. That's what I believe, you know? And so to me, that's getting you, no matter if you're 32 years old or if you're 15 years old, getting to realize there's so much to continue to get better at. I'm going to get you so excited that you inside yourself are going to want to pursue that. That's what I think.
But it's way more than just volleyball, right? So you really need to have a smart man to be a volleyball coach to expect this kind of behavior and acting. And
what do you mean exactly?
Because you said that you need to talk with someone and open your mind and see the volleyball broadly, right?
No, I guess you're right. I mean, volleyball is so much more than just volleyball. Having a good human being and recognizing that volleyball is actually a teacher for life is a bigger, broader question. I mean, even specifically in volleyball, whether you're 15 or 30, it's and understanding every player is different. All us three are going to react differently to different types of coaches. But I think the thing that stands, that doesn't matter about how old you are or what type of person you are, is we all as human beings do better in things that we're excited about. Let's talk about reading. You're going to be more excited to read something you want to read than reading something that the whole class has to read and it's due by, you know, next Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Like you want to feel like you're interested in the thing.
But does it mean that you want every time individual practice or what?
That's the art of coaching, right? Is you're right. That's not possible. And at the same time, where is it that possible? Mm. Is that possible? If you have a player who's like really trying to do more, can you find a way to be like, I'll show up 30 minutes before with you to work on setting or to work on something or stay after? And for example, Javier Weber was that coach. He was the coach to be like, he was coming or he was there before I was there and he stayed later than me, float serving some guy who wanted to work on reception after practice. Mm. So I think there's a way to do all of that. But I think more so like on a bigger level, the ability as a coach to inspire your players, and granted, there's some players who are 36, 37, 38, maybe who don't feel like they need to be inspired, let's say.
Yeah, but because I also think like I don't think it's possible in the pro volleyball, in pro sport, like because you have 14 guys here in our team and everybody is different and you need to find different way to different guys. And you don't have to be friends with all the guys. Like you don't have to, even if you are good, it doesn't mean you are not a good person, but not every guy on the pro level, like with the ego and everything, needs to have a friend, like to have a coach who is his friend.
Agreed.
Like, different guy needs different coach. And for me, the best coaches can be different coaches to everyone. And they can, like read people so good that they know that one guy needs to be treated this way and the other guy I can go with him on a beer after, or I should go with him because he needs to have somebody who will listen to him, to his private stories. And some guy needs to be left alone because he's like this, but I need to find a way also to him. And maybe I will just leave him the book to read and that's all. Mm. And leave him for like 1 week and don't speak with him and just observe him how he acts and wait for him to come to me to speak, hey coach, this book was really good, I read it. Or maybe he will say like, I don't need this book, I will not read your books. Like
flexible, you need coaches.
Yeah,
flexible.
The flexible and have to be good psychologist, like to read people and to know how to find a way to each of them. And because there is no like one way to every player.
And that's, again, this is the art of coaching, right? Like what a task to have 14 and sometimes 20, sometimes 30 guys on a team in college.
You have to manage the staff also. Like you need to like,
you got to make hard decisions by like pulling someone out when they feel like they were doing fine or something. I get it. It's
the same when you are the manager or the director or CEO of the company, like small company, big company. Like you need to find a way to your workers, to people who work with you, who you are a leader. So you need to find a way to everyone.
Right.
It's not only in sport. That's why also the coaches are making this meetings for the companies like around the world too, because when you can manage the team to be successful and you can, with all this pressure and everything, you can manage the 14 guys to get the medal or the cup, then you know, you have the knowledge to give to the people who are managing, the people just like working every day to get to some goals.
And you're so right. And I'm just speaking based on my own experience in some way. and also trying to find solutions to help coaches to get rid of the narrative that I've heard my entire professional career, which is most players don't think their coaches are anything special. Why? I want, this is such a, I don't, God damn it, I said I wouldn't get super like lit up from this, but like it frustrates me so much. How many of us do I know, we don't need to talk about this season, just in past in general, do I hear guys who are like frustrated because they're not playing or whatever, and I'm just thinking like, you, I don't ever see you talking to the coach. It's not like you're finding ways to get better. You're now entering that part of the pro season where you're like, I'm not really playing. It's easy to then get into the like, oh, so who really cares? I don't care if I play or not. I'm going to eat whatever, or I'm going to play warm-up games and just like, who really cares? Like, you just start to lose yourself. And I am always like, I believe so strongly that like, it's a coach's responsibility to find a way to get through in some way, or at least make an attempt to get through in some way. Like, how easy would it be for a coach to say at the beginning of the year or every month, be like, what are you trying to work on? Okay, I'm going to incorporate one drill. If I can't incorporate it into practice, like you say, Kropos, you want to work on being disciplined and not reaching when you're blocking. Like, okay, maybe this week we don't have a chance to do it as a team, but let's meet 10 minutes after practice and do 20 balls or something, you know, like something that makes you feel as a player that you're heard and that your coach wants to see you get better, even though he knows you're the fourth guy. You're not going in this game, or you're the third guy, or you're start, you know, and that, I don't know.
And you know, it's also like the matter of perspective, because okay, I had, I don't know, I was not counting, but I had a lot of coaches, and I know the different styles, and I know like what is my ranking, who was the best, who was the worst. But if some guy I know and I ask him like, who was your favorite coach? And he can say like on his first place, the guy who on my list, he's like eighth or ninth in my list, because I know like eight better coaches than him, but he just didn't work with them. He worked with these guys from that this guy is his favorite coach, you know what I mean? So the perspective is really important. Sometimes you are like happy and the coach is your idol because you didn't know that there are much better coaches, and you probably will have like difficulties to work with them, because you just work with these guys, and
right. Yeah,
there is no possibility to work with all the coaches. And then,
but we're speaking from a perspective of veteran guys who are in their 30s who have had a lot of coaches, right? So that's why I'm also interested in, I've given a lot of my perspective, and we don't need to talk much longer about it. You know, we're
poor Kropos editing this video right after.
Yeah, but like, you know, I don't know. I guess just to kind of end all of this, I think the art of coaching seems like what an epic journey to really, because it seems the more I play, even though there's a part of me that's so frustrated because I feel like there are at least some really simple solutions to start. What do all of us want? We all want to feel heard. We're all here because we want to get better.
It's like with kids, man. Like if I'm a coach, and if I'm an old coach, like managing the team 20 years ago, the young guys 20 years ago was different than managing the young guys age right now. Like, it's totally different. People are different. Like, times are different. The world is different. Like, everything, the impacts that they have around. And it's not that you had a success with 19-year-old guys 20 years ago and you get the 19-year-old guys right now. You can act the same. It's, like, completely different. The generations are changing, and it's so difficult. I cannot imagine. That's why I don't want to be a coach.
Me neither.
There's a lot of reasons I don't want to be a coach either. You know, let me last thing. We all don't want to be coaches, but I will say I can only speak on the perspective of a player. And damn, I would like to find a way to change the narrative for players, because 9 out of 10 times I have conversations about coaches or practices or whatever, it's not great. It's very rare that I talk to a player overseas, American, foreign, who's like, oh, I love it here, dude. I'm getting better every day. Like, I love this environment. It's all so great. It feels like players are just like hanging on.
And, yeah, but you know also that players are complaining on the coaches. Mm. But yeah, after when you like, okay, try to be a coach for 1 month.
Sure.
Put this player into the perspective of coach. It's so difficult.
Like, right. But what I'm sure of that I would do different, and this is the classic, I've never done it, but I know I would do it this way. But I'm saying it is like, at least I would have honest conversation. And I think all of us would respect honest conversation. Being like, hey, you're the fourth. This is why. This is what I think. Prove me wrong. Like, I think, let's find a way to get you better.
But you know why? I think because we had coaches who were not honest with us.
That's right. Why.
And it's the same, like, I don't know, observing your parents and after being a parent, like, you know that you don't want to do something that your parents did to you, like some, I don't know, don't letting you doing something or like some way. So the same with the coaches. If you were like, let's say, kicked out from the national team or some news were like said to you, like behind your back, and you already knew something when the coach couldn't tell you the truth or his decision, and you already knew, and you are getting this information from second hand, you don't want to be this kind of coach. Like, you want to go, as soon as you make a decision, you want to go to the player and tell this to him, because you know how this player would feel if he knows about your thoughts from somebody else.
And we talked about how that volleyball is also life. And to me, it's the same in life.
Yeah.
Tell me. I want to know. Let's be more honest with each other. And we have a hard time in general doing that, just being honest. And I feel like that is at least the first place to start. Being honest and being honest in a way that cares about you're a human, I'm a human. Not I'm your coach, you're the player, I'm your dad, you're the son. I just don't agree with that rhetoric for sports.
But also, I think you can like divide this into time, like the time of the practice and the game, and the time like after and before, like with to have some different like connection with the coach, in my opinion. Like, I don't have a problem that coach will shout at me and we will argue like on the practice, and as soon as he whistles for the last moment of the practice, and he can come, and I can be really angry on him during the practice, and after he can come and say, okay, let's go on and grab some beer and speak about whatever.
Yeah.
Ewan has his second question. I will just put it really quick, and I think the answer is really also simple.
And Andre, from you, buddy, I need to know how to survive marriage with a Polish woman. I need some tips. Thank you very much for... thank you very much for answering my questions. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So how to survive a marriage with Polish women? So if you are considering as a survival, maybe you shouldn't be married. Thank you for that.
That's something.
I don't know how to answer this, like, my wife is watching this podcast.
It's difficult. Interested. First of all, your wife's watching this podcast?
Of course.
No way, bro.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. That's crazy.
But really, like, okay, I was joking. Like,
I want to know
surviving.
I want to know, what do you think he meant? Like, when he said Polish women, is there like a, was he just being fun? Was it like, is there a general, like, Polish women are different than maybe other women? Like, I don't know. What do you think? What do you think he could have meant by that?
I would say, like, I can say about my wife, or like I don't know if I can say about Polish women generally. Maybe I can, but they have character, and they know what they want, and it's not always easy to live with them, for sure. But still, it's like better to have somebody with who you can argue on some about some like different person who has different perspectives also to discuss. For sure, I cannot say about all the women. Like, I can say about my wife.
Let me ask you then about, like, in relationships. Let's bring it to relationships.
Yeah.
How important do you, and for both of you guys, how important do you think it is to have similar views versus opposing views?
It's not that important. I think you need a partner. Like, you need somebody to who can support you, like, in your difficult moments, who, like, this is not a question for 5 minutes to speak about.
Have 2 minutes, Andre. Answer as best you can here.
Yeah. I think it's most important to be a partners in the marriage. Like, don't think about it as a survival or some kind of, I don't know, I take care about you. And
also, I think he was kidding, by the way.
Like, for sure. Yeah, that's why I was joking in the beginning, but you made it serious. So, So if you consider this as a survival, maybe it's not the right, you don't have to be with Polish women.
If we can do it, you can do it also, man. Yeah. Just stay strong, brother.
Stay strong.
Stay strong, dude.
We can do it.
Okay. Should we finish? Yeah, 1 hour 18. Poor Kropas to edit this.
It's always fun. I enjoy watching you during the 3 days in a row. My laptop.
Yeah, nice.
Okay, guys, subscribe if you like what we are doing here. This life and volleyball
advices is fun, dude.
Yeah, it's fun.
Also, submit a question, dude.
Send some questions to this guy on his Instagram
or the Volley Hotline Instagram
and also click subscribe, give us this thumbs up here and comment under these videos, because this will make us reach more and more volleyball fans, and not only. See you next time.